kingdom, but also, as you'll see tonight, about the tribulation. And that is the case here at the last part of Zechariah chapter 4. Remember, we've been looking at them chronologically, and Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are the last three chronologically. But we'll be in Zechariah for a while. It's got 14 chapters. But we've made it up to chapter 4, and last week we were reminded it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Anything that we accomplish and can accomplish for the Lord must be through the Holy Spirit of God and His power. And then God stops after speaking to Zerubbabel, the high priest, and gives us a prophecy here in verses 11 to 14 about the tribulation period. So let's look at it. Verse 11, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." So tonight, we look at the two anointed ones. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom and your guidance and the Holy Spirit speaking to each heart through your word. We love you and thank you and give you this service. Amen. This is what I love about expository preaching through books. You never know what you're going to get. It's not always practical. Sometimes it's doctrinal. And that is the case tonight. But who are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth? Let's find out. Let's go to Revelation 11. We'll be jumping around a bit tonight. But we're going to learn about these two anointed ones. So Revelation 11, remember, Revelation chapter 6 through 18 is the tribulation period. Revelation is given to us chronologically. So chapters 2 and 3 to the church, chapters 4 and 5, you see the church in heaven, 6 to 18, the tribulation, 19, the return of Jesus, and 20, the kingdom. Say that 10 times fast. But here in Revelation 11, let's look at these two anointed ones, beginning in verse 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." So now we know how they tie together, because we just saw with the candlesticks and the olive trees. "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." So now we know, based on the candlesticks and the olive trees, that these are the same two that are mentioned here in Zechariah. Zechariah is, as you'll see as we get later into the book, more and more prophecies about the return of Jesus, about the kingdom, but also about the tribulation. And in this case, these two anointed ones that stand by the Lord are the same two anointed ones that we see here in Revelation 11. So who are they? That's a good question. And I think if we look through it carefully tonight here in Revelation 11, what we're going to find is God pretty much reveals to us who these two men are, who appear halfway through the tribulation period. They work amazing miracles and have amazing powers. They're killed by the beast, but then brought back to life, only to ascend up into heaven. And let's see if we can get some clues. So, these two witnesses, it says at this point, they're already standing before the Lord. So, these two men, before the tribulation period, are already in heaven. So there's a clue. There are people that have already died and gone to heaven. Which means, since it was Revelation was written, what, about 90 AD? They're most likely Old Testament saints. But we'll talk more about that. And, of course, it says they have the sackcloth, which is a sign of mourning and a sign of judgment. And it tells us there that these two olive trees will have fire proceeding out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. So that's pretty impressive, isn't it? To be able to devour your enemies with fire. Can anybody think of anybody else in the Old Testament that did that? Devoured their enemies with fire? We can all, you know, immediately, a certain person comes to mind. Let's go to 2 Kings in chapter 1 and see who this certain person is. Who devoured his enemies with fire? 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 10. And Elijah, there's a clue, answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50." And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So Elijah had the power to devour his enemies with fire from heaven. Back to our passage, Revelation 11, it says, "And if any man will hurt them, he must in his manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven." Has anyone in the Bible had the power to shut heaven? Let's go to 1 Kings 17 and look at another clue. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. You'll recognize the name. "And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And if you go to James 5:17, God talks about how Elijah shut up heaven for many years. So, Elijah had the power to devour his enemies with fire. Elijah had the power to shut up heaven. Back to our passage, it says, "And they have the power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues." Wonder who's ever done that before. Turned water to blood and smote the earth with plagues. Do we even need to turn there to Exodus chapter 7 and see it was Moses that did those exact same two things? Remember, he turned water, the Nile River, to blood. And he also was God's instrument to bring the 10 plagues to Egypt. And it says, "When they shall have finished their testimony." So God protects these two men until their testimony is finished. It says, "Then God will allow the beast out of the bottomless pit to make war against them." So here we have the beast making war against two men. And he kills them. So this happens in the middle tribulation period. He comes out, he kills these two witnesses that have come down from heaven, these olive branches, these candlesticks, or olive trees, sorry. And this all happens in spiritual Sodom and Egypt. By the way, that's Jerusalem. How do we know that? Our Lord was crucified there. So this is God's view of current Jerusalem and Jerusalem during the tribulation period. He calls it Sodom and Egypt. It's interesting, too. Can you imagine 100 years ago, somebody reading this and saying, how Could it be possible that the entire world could see their bodies lying in the street? Now, you and I have no problem seeing that, because there's this thing called television. But imagine 100 years ago reading this and saying, how could the whole world see two bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem? How could they? They would just shake their heads and say, how's that possible? Well, we don't shake our heads and ask that question, do we? Because it'll be broadcast over all the networks. Because it says that all the people and kindreds and tongues and nations, every single person on the earth will see their dead body in the streets. They'll see their bodies put into the grave. The whole world's going to be so happy about these two men being killed that they're going to make a holiday out of it and send each other gifts. That's what it says. They shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. The beast killed those two pesky men. Isn't that great? Let's send each other gifts to celebrate. That's exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation period. Why? Because the two prophets tormented them. With what? Well, with truth. With the Word of God. With warnings about the coming judgment. And after 3.5 days, the Bible says the Spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet. Well, the only other time we see this happening on this kind of scale is, of course, when Jesus died on the cross. We see people coming out of the graves and going into Jerusalem and being reunited with their loved ones. Literally coming out of the graves, these two men will be given life again. These poor guys have to die. How many times do they have to die? They've already died once in the Old Testament. Well, actually, one of them didn't, did he? If it is Elijah, he never died. Remember, he was taken up in a chariot of fire. And we don't really know for sure all about Moses. All we know is God took him to a secret place. And then he went to heaven. And Israel wasn't allowed to know. Anyway, after this, what does it say? Come up hither. Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. By the way, this passage is where people get this whacked out teaching about the mid-trib rapture of the church. But this has nothing to do with the church. This is something happening during the tribulation period to Israel. And like I mentioned earlier, if you go to 1 Kings 2, from what we can see in the scriptures, only two men in the Bible didn't die physically. And those two men are, we already mentioned Elijah, and they both start with E, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. He walked with God and was not. But notice 1 Kings 2, down in verse 11. Oh, sorry. 2 Kings 2, and verse 11. 2 Kings 2, 11. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle, verse 11. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. So we see Elijah never died physically. And then if you go to Matthew 17, we'll see something else very interesting. Jesus took the inner three up into a mountain. So he didn't take all 12. We call them the inner three because they were the ones who often were allowed to witness things that the others were not allowed to witness. And the inner three, of course, were Peter, James, and John, the two sons of thunder, and then Peter. And when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration here in chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus, before it all happened, he made a prophecy in verse 28 of 16. He says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." People have often read that verse and said, well, all the disciples died. But what he was saying was, chapter 17 is the answer to that, that they were given a glimpse of Jesus in his glory when he took them up on top of the mountain. Verse 1, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them," who? Moses and Elijah. "Talking with them, then answered Peter, said unto the Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here." And we know what happened anyway. So of all the Old Testament saints that could have been allowed of the Lord to show up on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was two. One of them shut up the skies for 3 years and devoured his enemies with fire and never died physically. One of them also turned water to blood and smote the earth with plagues, and his departure from the earth was a big mystery, because God knew if Israel ever found his body that they would worship it. So he kept it all a big secret. And they are the only two that showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so it kind of leads us to wonder. I'm not going to say it's definitive. It kind of leads us to wonder if these aren't the two men that God says, "Guys, I'm sorry. The good news is you get to live with me forever. The bad news is you got to go back to earth again in the middle of the worst time in the history of mankind and be killed by the beast. But I'll bring you back to life and bring you back to heaven. Just got to go back one more time and prophesy and work miracles and be a witness." Really, that is the point, wasn't it? So not only what they testified, which will be preaching the gospel, but just the fact that they worked the miracles and that God brings them back from the dead and they ascend up to heaven is all a witness of the power of the Lord, but also the need for man to be saved. Sadly, the end result of all of this isn't salvation. It's the earth, as we saw, it's the earth being excited that they're dead. How sad is that? Instead of repenting and saying, "Wow, look what God is doing." Well, by now the Antichrist has already been working miracles and impressing the world with his miracles. So they're going to all sit back and the world's just going to say, "So what?" And if it wouldn't be for the preaching of the 144,000, we wouldn't see the multitude saved. So let's go back to Revelation 11 and just see what happens. Verse 13, after they ascend to heaven, it says, "In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." So that's just one of the woes. Is the two witnesses who were prophesied of here in Zechariah chapter 4. The olive trees on the right side of the candlestick on the left side. And the olive branches through which the golden pipes empty. These two anointed ones are the two anointed ones of Revelation chapter 11. The good news is we won't be here. Amen? You don't want to be here for any of it, because it will be a horrible time on earth. Lots of death, lots of destruction, lots of anger directed at God. But God just gives the world these last opportunities to see his power, to hear his gospel, just to show how hard man's heart really is. And again, it should make us that much more thankful. So don't go out and say that I said definitively that it was Moses and Elijah. We're theorizing tonight that it most likely is Moses and Elijah. And there are some things in the Bible, there are doctrines that we would stand to the death for. Amen? Like the deity of Christ and salvation through Christ alone and eternal security and things like that. And there are other things in the Bible where we can do our best, but we're not going to stand and say, yeah, I'm not going to die by whether or not it's Moses and Elijah. Because we're just not 100% sure. It most likely is the two anointed ones. So a little mini lesson there about the mid of the trib. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us tonight that you are in control, that you're sovereign over everything, even to these minute details of exactly what's going to happen with these men in the future, in the middle of tribulation. And Lord, it'll all come to pass exactly as you prophesied. And we're so thankful we can know that and believe it. And Lord, may it just remind us how important it is that we tell others how they can be rescued from this terrible time through the precious and wonderful gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.